Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. My name is Jake, and today I am joined by Billy. Billy, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very, very well indeed. Billy, we're obviously here today talking what little Premier League action is sort of on the horizon. There's been no games or anything like that to speak of. But one thing that caught my eye today was an article that came out about Manchester City's lack of squad depth. Now, all we've been hearing from Man City fans and the media all season is about how good Man City squad depth is and how fantastic this squad is that they've built. You know, it's a £1 billion squad, et cetera, et cetera. When you saw this article as well, what were your thoughts on Man City's perceived now lack of squad depth because they got beat by Liverpool with their second string, which, by the way, cost more than Liverpool's first 11?
It's just comical, isn't it? It's like, it almost feels like that it's the Man City fans writing it and they're just a little bit salty that they haven't won again. It's like me and Simo said, there's no domestic trophy again at Man City. Yeah. I don't know if they won anything last year, but there's no domestic trophy for Man City this season, which I think they'll look on as another failure for sure. Mm. Especially, they've got to win something. With this squad, they have got to win something, whether it's the title or the Champions League now.
Yeah.
So they've physically got to win something with that squad. The season would be such a massive failure if they come away with no silverware whatsoever, which is very possible as well. Yeah. But I think this, getting back to this article, I think it was, I do genuinely feel like it was written by Man City fans that just feel a bit salty. And they're like, well, maybe our squad depth isn't as strong as what it's been perceived to be and what we've hyped it up to be and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? You see how well Liverpool have added to the squad depth with the likes of Konate, Jota, Diaz as well, of course, just to name a few over the past couple of transfer windows. And I think Man City have got to a point where they're signing fantastic players and we all know that they've got such an incredible squad depth. But to me, as a fan of not one of these two clubs, if you know what I mean, I don't know the best terminology to use, but yeah, as an outsider looking in, I suppose, it's starting to sway in the way of Liverpool having a better squad depth. And it's weird, if you know what I mean. Because Man City do have this incredible squad depth. And you've seen before, like, was it earlier this season or was it last season where De Bruyne was out for a good 2 or 3 months and Gundogan came in and replaced him? I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was just incredible. They didn't miss Kevin De Bruyne. Imagine not missing Kevin De Bruyne in your side.
Exactly.
This is still the exact same squad. Mm-hmm. So I just burst out laughing when I saw that article, to be honest. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the start of the show, you know, all season, all we've had is City squad depths are fantastic. You know, you take one player out and another £50 million player comes in, and that's all we've had. And like you said, you know, is it now City fans getting a bit annoyed because Liverpool have added a few more quality players to that squad and have added, you know, some real cool. Konate looks fantastic. Diaz looks like he's played in the Premier League his entire career. I mean, I just find it strange that a squad that second string can realistically win the Premier League, you know, in its own right, can now be criticised for not having enough depth, which I find absolutely bizarre. I mean, it's a strange one because I know a lot of City fans were quite critical of Pep not bringing in a striker in the summer and going for Grealish. Let's not forget they signed Jack Grealish in the summer for £100 million. You know, let's not forget that little factor. Arguably a player that they didn't need. You know, probably the one position they didn't need to strengthen was where Grealish plays.
Absolutely.
Now, it arguably looks a bit of a foolish signing, and there's a lot of that going around, especially from Man City fans. You know, a lot of them are calling him, you know, just an Asos model and things like that, which is quite comical.
He is a Gucci model, I think you mean.
Gucci model, that's it, Gucci. But yeah, so there's a bit of resentment going around. And like you said, mate, if this Man City side now, you know, fails to win the Premier League or the Champions League this season, then this season has been an absolute catastrophe because, you know, 14 points clear. But I mean, if you throw that away, I mean, it's ridiculous. And to get this far in the Champions League again, and if they don't win it again, you know, it doesn't look great. But yeah, I find it a bit of a strange argument that Man City don't have squad depth. But speaking of other sides that are struggling with their sort of depth issues, we're going to come on to Leicester City. A lot has been made out, obviously, this season about Leicester's injury problems, you know, and their lack of depth. And Rodgers has probably, in my opinion, rightly been criticised for not filling that squad a bit more. I think I said it yesterday, that if you're relying on a 34, 35-year-old Jamie Vardy now as your number one option and banking on him not getting injured the entire season, then you're going to have a bit of an issue. What have your thoughts been on Leicester this year? I mean, they've not kicked on again. You know, top four was their aim last season. They didn't get it. It was their aim this season. They sit ninth. What have you made of Leicester so far this season, Billy? And do you think that the lack of depth has really hurt them this year?
Yeah, I think lack of depth is probably a bit harsh, to be honest with you, because they have suffered with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And they're still ninth in the table as we sit here talking. But I think the biggest thing with Leicester this season has been the lack of depth at centre-back.
In crucial areas, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, at centre-back in particular, I think. So they had Fofana out for a very, very long time. I think he was injured in pre-season, just before season started, for God knows how long. I mean, he's only just come back, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's just come back, yeah.
And then you've got Johnny Evans, who's a fantastic defender, but he's getting injured every now and then. And then Soyuncu's getting injured. Well. And you've got Daniel Amati as the... as the only centre back in that squad that's really playing Premier League football regularly.
So it's
a bizarre one. I think they should have gone out in January and picked up another centre back. But I suppose at the same time, you also don't want to be overpaying ridiculous prices for players. And if it's something that we spoke about yesterday as well, if the right man's not there, then you may be better off leaving it until the summer.
Yeah.
So I do understand that side of it, but striker's another one. I think Patson Daka, they signed him in the summer, didn't they, I think?
Something like that.
But he's come in and he's still a bit part player. Mm. Same with Iheanacho. He had a good run last season, playing regular minutes when Vardy was out again, and he was scoring goals every time he was on the pitch, but he just hasn't been able to do that this season. But I also think that's a part of him being injured himself, and then also rotation with him playing in the Europa League, the Premier League, and then they've not had a structure to the squad, I think, this season. They've not had that spine that we talk of being so important. But next season, I do think they'll be better. I think they'll get some signings in the summer. I think they'll lose Tielemans, which will be a massive, massive loss because I rate him really, really highly. But it's about who you replace these players with. And
yeah,
Leicester's transfer policy seems to be a fairly decent one as well of recent times.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, I don't think they're in any real worry of, particularly not of going down. And I do think that with investment in the summer that they'll be fighting for European football again. But I think just getting back to the injuries, it's just not helped them at all this season. It's just crippled. It's crippled their season, really. But in fairness, they're still in the semi-final of the Conference League, which is massive for them. And their only real hope of getting into the Europa League is by winning the Conference League. So I think for the rest of the season, their main goal will be to win that.
It's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, like you said, they're not going to win. They're safe as houses, realistically. So, you know, for me, if I'm their manager, I'm looking at potentially winning a European trophy. Yes, it's the Conference League, but it gets you in that Europa League. And, you know, a trophy's a trophy. And Leicester have if they win that, you know, they're starting to pick up a habit now there, if they win the Conference League, of winning trophies regularly. Yeah. You know, FA Cups, you know, Europa Leagues, Conference Leagues, things like that, that it still counts. It's still, you know, it's still going to attract players. You know, this is a side that's winning trophies regularly and, you know, breaking that mould a little bit of the sort of the top six. And I think the summer's crucial for Leicester. I think it's crucial for Rodgers as well, because if he gets it wrong and Leicester have a bad season, I think he struggles then to get, if he does say, you know, get sacked or anything like that, I think he then struggles to get another, a bigger, you know, top 10 job. I think he does struggle in that regard because, you know, he struggled at Liverpool at the end. At Leicester, it started to go a little bit wrong, you know, granted injuries and things like that. But still, you know, is he to blame, you know, not bolstering the squad in key areas at key times? Who knows if he's had the funds and the resources to do that? I mean, we obviously don't know the ins and outs of those sorts of things. But I think the summer's crucial for Leicester. It really, really is a big, big summer for that club. I think the owners, if they invest, it's a statement in Rodgers and the club of, you know, we want to get back into that top six. We want the top six as our sort of domain. We want to stay there. And I think it's, I think it'll be an interesting one. But moving over to another club, Brighton, who have had a very strange season for me. Very strange season indeed. But, you know, I think they sit 10th. Yeah, they sit 10th in the league, 40 points level with Leicester. But for me, Billy, I don't know about you, my biggest takeaway from Brighton this season has been their lack of goal scorers and their lack of a goal scoring player. What have you thought of Brighton? Do you agree with what I've said or do you disagree?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's been a problem with Brighton for so long now. A good two seasons. Big goal scorer and someone who can finish off the chances is something that they've missed massively. Just to talk about their season as a whole, I think they started off fantastically, didn't they? They were taking their chances. Did they win the first four on the bounce or something like that? They were up there for a good while, weren't they?
So, yeah.
It was something like that. And, they were just plodding along, top half, doing well. And then since 2022, they've just fallen off the edge of a cliff, really. Just, it was almost like the same old Brighton drawing or losing.
Yeah, hitting the woodwork every game.
Yeah. And I think until the Arsenal game that they won the other day, I think it was like they'd only won one or two in the whole year so far. So that would be concerning for Graham Potter and Brighton. But, you know, they've just picked up two wins against the two North London clubs.
Mm.
Good wins as well.
Good wins as well. They've looked decent, haven't they, both of those?
Yeah, so it's such a funny one with the league table, isn't it? Because you can... They were down there at 15th
ish. Yeah.
And then two wins, and they're 10th level with Leicester, looking brilliant. It's a weird one.
If you look at 9th to 15th, there's 4 points that separate the side. So Leicester in 9th have got 40 points, and Villa in 15th have got 36. I mean, 4 points, that's ridiculous. It's crazy. Just below Villa, you've got Leeds on 33. I mean, it's that middle section of the table is such a tight, like, sort of area.
It's just impossible to predict how it ends.
Like you said, Billy, you know, Brighton were like 15th 2 games ago, and two wins sees them shoot straight up the league. So it's been carnage. But it's been, for me, a great season, especially after last year. We spoke in depth last year about how poor the season had been and how sort of unwatchable the league was. So to have a league this season where, you know, 4th to 20th is up for grabs. It's crazy. Well, probably not 20th. I mean, although even Norwich might not finish bottom. So you could arguably say 4th to 20th. I mean, even, you know, the top two, Chelsea are probably happy with their. Chelsea are probably the only side you could say will finish where they are at the moment. Anybody else is free game and can finish short of anywhere, which
is crazy, isn't it?
It's been mad. Fantastic. But we're going to come on to your beloved Villa, Billy.
Yeah,
I've been seeing a lot on Twitter this weekend about Villa. You didn't play this weekend, but there's been a lot of backlash about the fact that almost you didn't play this weekend, which is strange to me. You've lost the last four, but before that, you know, you beat you had some good wins before that. You know, beating the likes of Leeds and Southampton sides that are around you. What's been the story of the season in shorthand? Where's not want to say it's gone wrong, because it's not really gone right either. Obviously, hence why you've had to change the manager halfway through the year. But you've been such an inconsistent side for years, in my opinion. But none more so than this year. This year has really highlighted that in my view. So what have your thoughts as a Villa fan been on that?
I think this season, I remember looking at when the fixtures came out last season, or just at the beginning of the season, obviously, the fixtures came out, and there was never a run of fixtures where you were confident that you was going to win. You know, every now and then you get like a chunk of six games against the lesser sides where you feel like we can really gain some momentum. It wasn't there. It was like two games against a couple of relegation battled sides, and then you play Liverpool or Man City or someone like that, and you're like, well, then that's the momentum gone. But I think we had a really disrupted pre-season through COVID and through many different factors, which obviously didn't help. We started the season off poorly, losing 3-0 to Watford on the opening day, 3-1, something like that. And we've just never really been able to gain any momentum. And it's been a real up and down season. So getting back to your question, where has it sort of gone wrong? I don't really know to answer it.
Yeah.
No. I think it's just one of them that just hasn't gone our way at all. Bring up the excuse of referees, but it seems like we're always on the end of a poor refereeing decision. I think new manager bounce every now and then. These are things that affect sides, and it always seems that these little tiny inconveniences, they eventually grow up to be a big inconvenience throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's affected us massively. Saying that, you know, we're sat 15th. I think we're the only team in the league that can have a meltdown when you don't play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't understand the meltdown behind it either. Because We're sat 15th. It doesn't make for good viewing. Newcastle are above us. You banked on relegation. But we're still 4 points away from Leicester. You know, we've got a game in hand on most of the teams above us. Brighton have played a game more. Southampton have played a game more. Newcastle too. And Brentford have played two games more than us. Crystal Palace have played the same amount of games. And Leicester up there have played one less game than us. So we win. If we win, hypothetically, our game against Burnley, which is one of our games in hand, that puts us straight back up to 11th. With Leicester City still to play, with Crystal Palace still to play, and the rest of the games are against Burnley and Norwich. We've still got Burnley to play twice, Norwich. And other than that, it's Liverpool and Man City, which you just call right off. So the season's certainly far from over. We could still finish ninth, which is a good season in my eyes. It's improvement on last season. And I think a lot of people just get too addicted, not addicted as such, but I think people care about the league position more than they should at this time of the season.
I think
particularly mid-table, you know, no one's going down, no one's going up. Just see how the end of the season plays out. We've got very winnable games coming up. Just chill out and have a beer, man.
I think a lot of people expect too much too soon as well. You know, Gerrard's come in, you know, to a squad that's not his, and he signed, what, two players, Coutinho and Dean. Coutinho's been great in patches, but he was like that at Liverpool as well. You know, I think a lot of people expected the Coutinho of Liverpool to come in, but the Coutinho of Liverpool was exactly what he was like at Villa, except he had other players around him to make him better. Yeah. So, you know, the Coutinho at Liverpool would go missing for four games, but that didn't matter because Salah, Mane and Firmino were all there to cover. So it was, I think that's what a lot of fans have been seeing. You know, Coutinho, he drifts in and out. Yeah, he knows, but he's been doing that his entire career. He's just been lucky that he's had other players to score goals for him. He doesn't have that luxury at Villa. You've got to give Gerrard time. You know, you got
absolutely give him at least absolutely
another season, another two seasons for me, and just see what happens. But I agree with you. I think a lot of people just they read too much into you know statistics and things like that. I'm all for statistics. I think they're great, but you know, a lot of people read too much into them and sort of and set their life on them. And it's like it's not everything. You've got to enjoy the game and watch the game first and foremost. And I know at times as a Villa fan this year, you haven't been able to enjoy it too much, but you know before you lost these three or four games in a row, you know you won three in a row and you scored nine. So
yeah,
you know it's not been all terrible.
It really hasn't. We have been getting decent results here and there, but I think something that is frustrating is that we've shown that we can lose games on the spin as well as win games,
which is always a worry. Because it can turn quickly into a snowball, and that's what you don't want to take into next year, is that snowball effect of losing one turns into losing five or six, because that's when the panic bells start alarming.
But I think we've also been very unlucky, particularly in the last two games against Wolves.
That Spurs game, you were very unlucky, because I thought you
battered them in the first half.
They had a shot
in the first half, and Son scored it, which is what Son does. He had three shots all game, and he scored three goals. We battered them in the first half, couldn't take a chance. Second half comes round, they score their chances, they take their chances.
It's that simple.
And then in the Wolves game as well, you know, if John McGinn doesn't slip or Ejiri Konsa doesn't slip, that first goal doesn't happen. The Ashley Young own goal, that could have gone anywhere off his head.
Yeah.
It just so happened to go into the back of the net. It's just one of them. And this is what I mean about like the little inconveniences. Things just not going our way, but it's just been one of them seasons. But like I say, like you said and rightly pointed out as well, this still isn't Stephen Gerrard's team. This is very much Dean Smith's team. You know, you're asking Stephen Gerrard to, you're giving him parts of a Ford Focus and asking him to build a Ferrari.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen. He's just not used to the tools at the minute, and You know, we do have to give him time, and I think we'll invest in the summer. And if I'm being honest with you, I think the summer we're going to have to install a revolving door. So I think there's going to be many players going out, and I think there's going to be a lot of players coming in as well. So it's an exciting one. It's going to be a big, big summer for Villa. And I'm looking forward to it, to be honest.
Yeah. Next year certainly will be filled with fun. But Billy, that's all we've sort of got time for today. But thank you very much for joining me. It's been a good chat, as always, mate. Always a good chat. Always a good time talking with you, especially talking with Villa. It's always entertaining. thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. It does very much help us out. We'll see you on the next one. Cheery bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.